Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, Better. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope this inspires you and builds your faith.
Hey, I'm so glad that you're joining us, and I'm excited about what we're going to learn together today, because I know that it's going to speak right where you're living at right now. And so we're in this series called Better. When life hands you choices, choose better. And what we're doing is we're looking through this incredible book called Ecclesiastes, and I want to encourage you to read a chapter a week right along with us, okay? There's 12 chapters. You can do that in a week. And just make some notes on your own, and then when you listen on a weekend, you'll be able to compare those notes. But Ecclesiastes is a journal, and it's a journal from a man named Solomon. Some would call him the wisest man who ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. And what he does is he takes you through his thought process. He evaluates his own life and what he observes, and he takes all of that together. And he begins to write down notes so that you and I can learn from him. Because as we learned last week, and by the way, if you haven't listened to that message, I want to encourage you to do so. What we learned is that he's called the teacher. He's one who does research. He pulls things together. And then he shares them with his students. And we're his students 3,000 years later. But when it came to experience, trust me, Solomon had it. Okay, he experienced everything, more than what I have, and I'm sure probably more than what you have. And he was the most profitable king who ever ruled over Israel. Matter of fact, he was the who's who in the matter of wealth and wisdom and prestige, all of that. He lacked nothing. He experienced everything. And the book of Ecclesiastes shows us what he experienced, okay, and what he learned from that. You see, he was on a mission. He was on a pursuit to find meaning. Anybody here on that pursuit? You're trying to find meaning. You're trying to find purpose. Sure you are, because all of us are on that pursuit. And Solomon was on that pursuit. And so he writes in his journal, in chapter 2, these words. Here's what he says. He says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. And what we learned last week is the word meaningless is used 38 times in his journal. And Solomon is looking for purpose. He's looking for meaning. And he can't find it. And he falls into this trap that maybe you have fallen into. That he thought, if I could just have this experience, if I could just have this pleasure in my life, then it would bring meaning to me. I would find some kind of purpose. And Solomon begins to process his experiences. And sadly, he comes to the realization that maybe you've come to, or if not yet, you will. And that is, some of the things that we desire most have the greatest potential to disappoint us most and destroy us and depress us. And so Solomon goes on this pursuit to experience pleasure, and he lists them. And so let's see what we can learn from Solomon, okay? Because here's what I know about Americans, okay? And literally around the world. You know, we live for experiences, okay? I mean, we're willing to go into debt just to have an experience. We want to pursue pleasure. And yet you look around in America today, I would say that our experiences are not going very well, okay? We have a higher quality of life, but we have a lower sense of contentment. More people are stressed out and depressed in America than ever before. The number one drug in America is an antidepressant drug. Wow. We seek happiness, but it provides grief. What we enjoy ends up enslaving us and disappointing us. and what we desire, okay? What we desire has a greater chance to destroy us than the things we dislike. The things that we give ourselves to, and we give ourselves to many times unreservedly and gladly, are the things that destroy us. And so Solomon shows us the how and the why. And he was king. And because he was king, guess what? He had no limitations. Nobody was going to tell him no. Nobody was going to resist him. And so he had no limitations between his desires and his experience. You say, oh, Dwight, I would love to have that. I'd love to have no limits between my desires and my experience. But that was the life of Solomon. And he was thinking when he would be able to have these pleasures and experiences that it would make life meaningful. But as we're going to learn, it didn't. The first thing that he went after was fun and laughter. Fun and laughter, okay? He writes this. He says, laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? Basically, he's saying that, you know what? I went after fun and laughter, and it didn't give me what I thought it would. Now, there's nothing wrong with laughing. I love a good laugh. Matter of fact, there's certain people I like to hang around with every once in a while just to give me a good old belly laugh, okay, of where I can't hardly breathe because it's just good. And I think it's good. I believe in heaven that we're going to laugh. And one of the things that we enjoy at New Point is laughing. But laughter and fun can be a mask for people. And we can hide behind it. And what Solomon would tell you and I and what he's telling us is that fun and laughter is okay, but it doesn't bring meaning to life. And we see this in our world, don't we? I mean, some of the greatest comedians that has made us laugh the hardest have lived a dark, 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 dark life. Robin Williams comes to my mind. And though fun and laughter can bring some relief to our life in a very stressful world, it's not the meaning of life. Solomon found that out. But he went on another adventure. He tried alcohol, okay? Alcohol, which is on the rise, by the way, with the COVID-19, okay? I mean, it's just going through the roof. And here's what he says about that. He says, after much thought, I decided to cheer myself up with some wine. Ever done that? I just think I'm going to cheer myself up. I'm down, I'm depressed. And while I was still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. And then listen to these words. He says, in this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. He says, I was trying to experience what most people find as happiness in this world, a little buzz, a little take off the edge. You see, alcohol is one of the most popular ways in which we cope with life. When it gets stressful, when it gets depressing, when it gets hard, it helps us to escape reality. And Solomon was saying, you know what? I've tried that. I've been there. I've gone to the liquor cabinet. And guess what? It never fulfilled. So let me ask you a question. After something significant that happens in your life, good or bad, stressful, depressing, disappointing, how long do you think about getting a drink? Does it come to your mind quick and fast and say, you know what, I need to get home, or I need to get to the office, I need to get somewhere, I need to calm my nerves, I need to take the edge off? You see, Solomon discovered that alcohol, though it can maybe take the edge off, it really brings no meaning or purpose to life, especially when we do it apart from God. When we do it apart from God, it can become an addiction and something that can take you down a road that's not good, and that'll bring confusion and chaos to your relationships. But you know what? He went on, and he even pursued success. He said this. He said, I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. You know, he just said, you know what? I'm going to climb the ladder of success. Bigger is better. And I'm telling you, for Solomon, it was bigger. I don't know if it was better, but it was bigger. You know, the home that he built took 13 years. 13 years. And you know what? He did everything imaginable. And so later on, he built a house for God. It took 7 years. So his house took twice as much as what it took to build God's house. And so he was on this mission to experience success. And you know what? We can get caught up into that. You know, we can just say, you know what? If I could just have my dream home, then that would bring meaning and I would be content. And, you know, Solomon had all of these people there to help him out and to serve him and to do all of that. And we can get caught up into that mindset. If I just had this home, you know, I'd be content. Would you? You see, Solomon's was debt-free. He had no financial problems. He just paid as he went. But you know what he would say? He would say, no, you know what? I've experienced success. I've been on Success Magazine. My name is known throughout the world. And I'm telling you, success doesn't bring meaning to life either. And then he went after this. He went after possessions. Possessions. Not only success, but possessions. Here's what he says. He says, I acquired male and female servants and had servants born into my house. Now, you may not have somebody serving you at your house. You know, the big joke at our house is Tuesday night is trash night, okay? And so all of our kids are basically out of the house, or they were before the COVID-19. And so I would always tease them. I said, I told your mom we should have had the fifth child, and I could have had somebody help me with the chores of the house. But he had all of that. He had servants right and left, and they waited on him hand and foot. He never lifted a glass. He never opened a door. He had all of that. And you and I, in a way, we have that to some degree because, you know, we have running water, right? We have a dishwasher. We have a washer and dryer. We have all of these things that, you know what, that serve us. We have a tendency to think, you know what, if I could just have all of these possessions, you know what, it'd bring meaning to my life. And yet Solomon would say to you and me, he would say, you know what, I had all the success and I had everything that you would want, possession-wise. And I came to this conclusion, it was meaningless. It's meaningless. He goes on to say this, he says, I also owned large herds and flocks more than any other king who had ever lived in Jerusalem before me. You know, Solomon had 1,400 chariots. That's like having 1,400 cars. I mean, it'd take you almost 5 years to drive a different car every single day. He had it all. He was well taken care of. He had possessions like you and I could never even think of. Animals. Okay, he had the perfect dog. He had the perfect cat. He had all of that. And yet he would say, you know what? It didn't bring meaning to my life. And so he continued this pursuit in trying to sort out life. And he went after wealth. He went after wealth. You see what happens is our thinking is that money can fix anything. Because most of us, truth be known, we're saying something like this. If I could just make $5,000 more, everything would be cool, Dwight. I'd be happy. But the problem is you're probably making more money today now than you ever thought you would. And yet what happens is there's still the pursuit for more. Because we think that money can fix almost anything. And so we think if I just had a little bit of money, a little bit more money, then you know what? I feel more secure. I feel more safe. But the fact of the matter is, as long as that's the center of your life, you'll never be secure. Look what he says. He says this. He says, I collected great sums of silver and gold, treasures of many kings and province, okay? He never had to live on a budget, okay? He never had to take a Dave Ramsey course, okay? He just had it all. He could never spend everything that he had. And we have a tendency to think that our problems, okay, that plague us would be taken care of if we just had more money. If money was no object, we would think, you know what, I'd really be happy. I'd feel secure. I'd feel satisfied. I'd feel content. And Solomon would say to you and I, no, Not going to happen either. So guess what? He continues his pursuit and he goes after entertainment. Here's what he said. He said, I hired wonderful singers, both men and women. Wow. You know what? He didn't have to download on Spotify to hear a band or a group or a person sing. He had them all there at his beckoning call. He would just call them out. And he could call out people who could sing and who could dance and who could perform and who could act. He had all the entertainment right there. He didn't have Netflix. He didn't need Netflix. He had it there. He just hired them. They were all there for one person and for one purpose, to entertain him. And then let me get to what you're wondering about, okay? He pursued sex, okay? He pursued sex, okay? Some things never change. All right, here's what he writes. And had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. Wow. Concubines, you know what those are? Strip club girls. He had 300 of them, along with 700 wives. He said, you want to talk about sex? You want to talk about fantasies? I didn't have fantasies. I had realities. Imagine 1,000 people, okay? Imagine 1,000 people who existed for one purpose, and that was to give you physical pleasure. And they would always be ready to do whatever you wanted and perform however you wanted them to. Is sex your struggle? And you would imagine in your fantasies, you know what, if I just had this, if I could have this experience, if I could have this person, if I could have that, then you would say, you know what, now I could be satisfied, now I could have my longings fulfilled, now I could have my fantasies completed and life would be great. Solomon would say, take it from me. The answer is no. I've been there, done that. The answer is no. And then he goes on and he says this. He says he goes after fame, after fame. He says, so I became greater than all who lived in Jerusalem before me. Solomon was famous. He was well known all throughout the land. Everybody knew Solomon. He had that one name, just Solomon, okay? And yet being famous never fulfilled his life with meaning. And we live in a day and age of where, you know what? We have a great desire to be known. That's why social media is so popular today. And we're going to post this on Facebook. And we're going to tweet about this. And we're going to make this statement. And we're going to make that statement. And we're dying for somebody to like it. We're dying for somebody to recognize us. We're dying for somebody to be able to approve of us. We're dying to be known. Solomon said, you know what? I was known by everybody. And if you think that's going to bring meaning to your life, the answer is no. If you think it's going to make your life better, the answer is no. And so he pursues education, goes after education. You say, I thought he was the smartest man in the world. He was. But he had this thirst, just like you and I do, thinking that, okay, this next pursuit is going to be the one that quenches this deep longing in my heart. And so he writes this. He says, and my wisdom never failed me. And my wisdom never failed me. Think of this. He had access to everybody. If he wanted to know about a specific virus or disease, he could call one of the doctors. If he wanted to know something about geography, he could call somebody there. If he wanted to know something about the animal world, he could call somebody there. He had access to all of the wisest people in the world. And guess what? He was wise enough and smart enough to be able to process all the information. There's a story in 1 Kings about the queen of Sheba would come and she would ask him hard questions and he would be able to answer her and she marveled at him. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, if I was just smarter, if I just had more knowledge, if I could just get another degree, I'd find fulfillment and meaning. And Solomon would say, nah. And so he goes for this. He just says, let me wrap it up with this. How about pleasure? And here's what he writes. He says, anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. He's just saying, just for anybody out there who's thinking that I missed something, I went after it all, okay? Whether it's gambling or something else, I did it all. And he would come to the end of his life and he would say, you know what? I never denied myself anything. What if you would come to the end of your life and say, I never denied myself anything? And you said, you know what? I went after it all. There was never a day, Solomon would say, that I never said no to me. I always said, yes, I did it all. I did more than my bucket list. I did my bucket list and more. And yet he says that it was like chasing the wind. He continues to write, and he says this, I even found great pleasure in hard work and a reward for all my labor. He said, you know what? There's something about working hard. There's something about contributing. But then look what he says. He says, but as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all meaningless. He says, even a good hard day's work was meaningless. It was like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. And so Solomon's experiences are lofty. I mean, they are wide. They are many. And he comes to the conclusion that it's like chasing the wind. And so in the midst of all of it, like a good teacher, guess what he does? He gives an evaluation. And he says, nothing is worthwhile. Why? Because Solomon was basically self-centered. He was worshiping himself. And his selfishness drips. And he's basically saying, I, me. He lived a life of taking instead of giving. And because of that, he became miserable. And he never found purpose. He never found meaning. And Solomon shares with us that really, apart from God, life is meaningless. It's hard to believe, I know, for many of us, because we're saying, well, I'd like to give a shot at it. But the fact of the matter is you can live a full life and have an empty soul. Have an empty soul. And so what Solomon comes to his evaluation is this, that death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. Life under the sun, S-U-N, is chasing the wind. It's meaningless. It's inevitable. Look what he writes. He says, so I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and madness. For who can do this better than I, the king, the wisest one? I thought wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. For the wise, okay, can see where they are going, but fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. Check this out. Death is inevitable. Both die. So I said to myself, since I will end up as the same place as the fool, what's the value of all my wisdom? This is all so meaningless, for the wise and the foolish both die. He's not done. Look what he says. He says, the wise will not be remembered any longer than the fool. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. So, he says, I come to this conclusion after evaluating. So I came to hate life because everything done under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. He says, death is inevitable and my achievements, okay, are futile. They're futile. They don't mean anything. I got all this list, got these trophies, got these awards, got these accomplishments, got these possessions, and they're futile. They don't mean anything. He goes on and he says this. He says, I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything I've earned. And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or not? I don't know how my kids are going to handle all the stuff I leave them. I don't know how the guys who are going to manage my foundation are going to do. He says, yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. He says this. He says, some people, okay, work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for this. Unbelievable. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy. So, he says, what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? See, you stay up at night worrying, fretting. How am I going to be successful? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to be known? He says, their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. Can't get any sleep. Can't go to sleep. I'm restless. He says it is all meaningless. What's he saying? He is saying that death is inevitable and achievements are futile. And so what does that say to you and me today? Today, here's what I believe that it says. And Solomon is a self-centered person. Here's what I believe it says. The value of life is always measured by how much was given away. See, Solomon accumulated. You see, here's what we need to understand. Death is inevitable. Achievements are futile. And here's what we need to understand here. We don't celebrate accumulation at a funeral. We don't celebrate stuff at a funeral. At funerals, you know what we do? We celebrate generosity and selflessness. You know, I've done hundreds of funerals, and it's amazing. What would you like for me to say about your husband, about your dad, about your mother, about, well, I don't know. I don't know. Were they generous? Were they other-focused? Were they selfless? See, if you're not careful, you will end up like Solomon. You will have regrets, and you will wish that you could go back and change things. Because you know what? We celebrate generosity, but we envy accumulation. You go to that funeral and you're celebrating. Wasn't he a generous person? He gave and he gave. She gave, she gave. And then what happens is we have a little meal and then we go back to work and you know what we do? We envy the accumulation of our friends and those on Facebook and the vacation they got and the house that they built and the car that they drive. And we see what others have and we envy it. And here's what we need to realize. The value of life is always measured by how much was given away. That's Solomon's evaluation. Death is inevitable. Accomplishments and achievements are futile. And then the light bulb comes on. And here's Solomon's enlightenment, okay? It's unbelievable. He says, in light of all of that, that death is inevitable and accomplishments are futile. He says, so I decided that there is nothing better to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that even these pleasures are from the hand of God. For whoever eats or enjoys anything apart from him, who can? He says, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. And so here's what he says. Here's his enlightenment. It's this right here. He says, for who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him? What's his enlightenment? It's this right here, that enjoyment cannot happen apart from God. It just can't. You can have a big old house, a big old car. You can be wise. You can have many degrees and numbers and names and letters behind your name. And fact of the matter is, apart from God, you can't enjoy life. You see, Jesus said it like this, the one who's wiser than Solomon, by the way. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? All of those things that Solomon was pursuing, yet forfeits his soul. Your soul is where you make decisions. It guides you in life. He says if your soul is messed up, you can't enjoy those things because apart from your soul being right, there is no enjoyment. And so Solomon is pointing us once again to the one who is wiser than him, Jesus. And here's what we're saying, okay? When life hands you choices, choose better. And there's no one better than Jesus. Why? Because Jesus makes life better, and he makes us better at life. Why? Because he enriches everything that he's a part of. He brings true joy, true satisfaction, true contentment, so that you can enjoy all of those things that God has for you. But apart from him, you can't. So for some of us today, our first step is to allow Jesus to make life better. And that is to invite him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. And you can do that by a simple prayer. God, as much as I know how and understand, I invite Jesus into my heart. I want joy, I want contentment, I want peace. I've got so much and yet I have so little contentment and joy and peace, and I want that. And you'll find it in Jesus. For others of us, we've done that. But we've believed the lie that all these other things will bring meaning and purpose in our life, and you know it doesn't. And Jesus wants to make you better at life. He wants to give you his wisdom, and he will as you ask. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you love us and that you care for us and that you're the hope, you're the joy, you're the peace, you're the contentment that all of us long for. So God, I pray that as the band comes and as they share this song with us, it's so simple yet so powerful and so relevant. Give me Jesus. I pray that that would be our response today as we sort out life. There's many things we can pursue, but all of them will fall short of you, Jesus, because you're the one who can satisfy. You're the one who can bring peace and joy and wholeness and contentment. And that's what our hearts long for. So may we agree with this incredible song, Give Me Jesus. And it's in your name that we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media. Download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through Google Play or the App Store, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.